Greetings, Meltopians. Are you looking to delve deeper into the world of Meltopia? Then check out our Patreon, where you can find written mythos pieces, world maps, found footage, art, Patreon-exclusive shows, and more. Just go to patreon.com/Meltopia and join one of our tiers for access to great new content. Brave the forbidden and embrace the darkness.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, Maltopians. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Maltopia Podcast. To better engage with you, we'll soon be launching our new Discord. So be sure to sign up for our newsletter at maltopia.com for the invite link and a small thank you gift. And to receive early access to podcast episodes, bonus video content, and more, consider supporting us at patreon.com/Maltopia. Watch our welcome video and scroll through to find public posts that give you a sampling of what you can expect as a patron. Check out our artwork on Instagram and DeviantArt. Connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. And as always, thank you very much for your support. Enjoy. The city's many shadows had become living things, the quiescent nightmares capable of becoming whatever horror the moment demanded. Keith stood back to back with William at the center of the ruined church that haunted Baker Street's untended wilds. Hazel draped limply from Keith's arms as he stared back into the blackness where it stirred and growled and scraped, his voice poised, silent and still. The ready claws of a mantis. William smirked at one of the things as it pushed its hellish, toothy muzzle into the dappled moonlight that fell from a hole in the ceiling, threatening to charge.
Go on, tough guy. Make you move,
William offered, his eyes darkening. He cracked his knuckles in preparation, glancing at Keith.
So, you want to tell me how the hell we ended up back here, Goldilocks?
Keith tilted his head in concentration. A casual gesture, given the circumstances. Hazel's power deals exclusively with the past, so her fit must have caused her to randomly reach out and deliver us back along the path we've already traveled. Though the church does seem to have gained more followers since last we were here.
That's a fact.
Keith smiled at the comment, trying to maintain his composure and ready wit, but he'd drawn too deeply from his sonic reserves. The constant use of sonar, combined with the previous go-round with the machine creature, had invited the scream deeper and louder into his head, a banshee perched at his ear. Ever since he'd cut loose in Merger's Ditch, parrying the effulgence of the void with his own auditory issue, the scream had grown louder, quicker to cope the sonic offerings of the world. Inwardly, he pleaded with William to stop yammering and for the monsters to stand still and quit their incessant pacing and snarling. He cursed himself for being too careless with his power, now so taxed that even silencing the room wouldn't avail him. It would only frame the scream against the calm, drive it that much deeper into his brain. Had his arms not been full, his shaking hands would have betrayed a rapidly declining strength, both of body and will. All the scream wanted, needed, was to be freed, to plunge through the gates of his mouth where it hung limp and broken, to serenade the world straight into hell. Keith knew well the fates of those before him, how one particular individual's liberated scream decimated an entire city, infecting those who hadn't died from the swan song with their own cases of lesser but still devastating shrieks. However, he had been sent through the machine, touched by forces beyond the ken of nature. Perhaps he might not end similarly. Perhaps he might survive. Perhaps not. The ripening aura perked up as the doors at the rear of the church flew open, admitting a monstrous thing cloaked in human and animal leathers that reached down to the floor. An impressive distance when one considered the height of their wearer, a bestial thing towering at least 10 feet tall. The interloper's head housed multiple and terrible snapping jaws that leaked webs of sallow drool. Its hands were identical to its head, with massive protuberances of grinning demonic maws, the things mindlessly flexing and spitting as they hung at the monster's sides. Surprisingly, if not altogether ironic, the creature seemed disinclined to speech, despite its apparent aptitude for the practice. It loped silent and brazen across the shadow-streaked spaces, with no want for monologue or measured approach, intent only on killing, and likely, consuming. Keith could feel the scream at the very edge of his tongue, impatient to be quickened once more, possibly for the last time. Summoning a smile despite the screeching tornado twisting in his head, he nodded to his new teammate. "Well, there you are, Brutus. All the fight you can handle. Or shall I?" A blind man could read the leader of the Wanderers. There was no chance he'd step away from a challenge, and certainly not in front of Goldilocks. William was a heavy fellow, though not paunchy, just a man blessed with big bones and a burly physique, a paragon of brawling and beer swilling. With a pace as brisk as the Carnivian's and twice as confident, William approached the incoming monster. The Carnivian broke into a run at the sight of its prospective meal's cockiness, freeing a roar that echoed painfully inside Keith's throbbing head. The conductor prayed the wanderer would make quick work of the thing. William didn't bother avoiding the monstrosity's mauled hand as it yawned towards his face, instead putting up his now seething black hands to catch it. As the two inhumans locked limbs, a black curling energy rode down the length of William's arm and across his fingertips, where they wrestled with the demon's grinning grip. As if the blood in its veins had been replaced with nitroglycerin, the monster's arm exploded beneath William's black glowing clutch.
"Don't like that, do you, tough guy? Now, come here and let's see if I can turn those smiles upside down for you."
The Carnivian recovered its equanimity from the loss of its left arm almost instantly, bringing its intact limbs smashing against William's chest. The many teeth of its fist dragged across the wanderer's flesh, raising black smoke from the wounds and launching him into the air and through a stone wall. The raucousness set Keith's teeth on edge, the commotion like fingernails slicing across a blackboard. Magnifying every sound tenfold, the scream seemed to beg Keith to release it into the room, into the world. The numerous Wara began to creep from the shadows, turning their attentions, their collective hunger, upon the last figure standing. Their behavior mimicked that of the larger creature, which glared eyeless and salivating at the sonic Malsapien. "I'll sing you and everyone in this city to final oblivion, creature. Final warning. Depart. Now." Keith had no time for mirth or monologues. His head was coming apart, and the sound perched at the tip of his tongue stood ready to reduce the city and everyone in it to the whispers of so much blowing dust. His lips beginning to part, he thought of his newest companions, his friends, and how he had failed them. The wall came apart for a second time, blasting inward, splashing the blacked-out interior of the once pious place of worship with ancient cracked stone. William strode back into the conflict, awash with darkling smoke, now tinged with flecks of simmering crimson. "Lucky shot, big mouthed. Sun shines on a dog's ass every now and then, they say. But you're shit out of luck now, asshole." Keith never expected to be glad for the presence of the inimitable Mr. Church, but he was elated. Still, the sound of the Wanderer's return put him on the floor, hands over his ears, an act of entirely foolish desperation. The Wara had been whipped into a frenzy by the din of combat. Having sufficiently digested their meals of Malsapiens, they appeared ready to fully participate in the revelry at hand. William gestured to the gathered horrors to come forward and partake of his crackling flesh, if only they dared. The first Wara to accept the invitation exploded as William's smoking fist slammed down upon its massive head, sending burning black chunks of the thing skittering across the cold stone floor. Casting about, he found Keith kneeling upon the floor, wincing. The monster of many mouths took advantage, tackling William to the ground. Pouring across the man like a pack of beasts, the Carnivian's many maws took in whole chunks of the prone man's body, trying to tear him to pieces. Whatever power lived within the Wanderer, it was every inch as un-
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Caring and incendiary is the man himself, blowing apart whatever mouth was fool enough to gather his flesh into its depths.
"You fucking gross thing, you. I'll teach you to fuck with me."
William's fist erupted like a dusty geyser from the creature's back. Mushrooming sable smoke plumed into the air, gathering like storm clouds beneath the high cracked ceiling. Even as the Carnivian shook and shrieked in pain, its remaining arm raised up above William's head, mutating into a massive cudgel formed from many layers of sinew and bone. The transformed limb came down with all the grace and force of a wrecking ball, crumpling William's nose in a shower of blood. Swinging his right fist at the retreating biohammer where it positioned itself for another blow, the Malsapien detonated the Carnivian's surviving limb. The monster howled in pain, its massive mouth shrieking and spitting into William's cringing face. As he tried to push the monster off, the thing extruded two hooked pincers from the pulsating folds of its underside, slamming them into the wanderer's chest, holding him fast. The terrible energies that wreathed William were already at the business of destroying the intruding hooks when the flesh of the monster's head pulled back like a hood, the mass of slavering mouths revealing a face contorted with pain. William's eyes went wide with shock.
Jesus Christmas! Is that you, Mickey?
It's me, boss. They got me. Put something inside me. I'm so hungry now. I'm just hunger and a body to put it in. That's all. They sent me somewhere. My place at the dinner table. Around the kill. Right now, I just get the scraps. But soon enough, I'll be eating the roasted meat of stars. Right off the bone. Just like I'm gonna eat the flesh right off your bones, boss. Oh, God. I'm so fucking hungry.
The monster's cowl of maws instantly replaced the face beneath, its teeth trying to sink themselves into William. The male sapien secured a meaty, two-handed grip upon the thing's head, and the entire upper body erupted, like a grenade stuffed inside a gigantic bag of meat. Taking his feet within the rain of blackened alien tissue, William scowled at the wreckage that was once a citizen of Deadwich. I ate scraps, Mickey, and you sure as shit ain't eating me. A serrated beam of silver light cut through the darkness and into William's back. He was on the ground in seconds, writhing in pain.
You must be one of Mars's new party pals. Best be careful, though. He fed his last group of bosom buddies straight to the dogs, so to speak.
Keith hated himself for not noticing the newcomers, but his mind was the scream a planet makes when it dies. There were two of them, animalistic monsters approximating the individual shapes of a man and a woman. The speaker was the more feminine of the two, an atrocity with seething silver eyes. Keith had to turn away from her. The slightest touch of her illuminated gaze cut into his face like the cold kisses of a dozen razors. The male creature sauntered closer.
Looks to me that these three are all done for the evening. What do you say? We all have a bite to eat before bedtime.
William gathered himself into a crouch upon the floor, wincing in pain, blood painting the floor beneath him.
The fuck I'm all done?
You don't get it, do you, tough guy? You see, when I say you're all done, that's it. You're done.
The monster made his way over to William, his body rapidly swelling with fire, sparks spraying from his eyes, nose, and mouth. Keith noticed the woman stepping back from the man as he began shuddering, growing more unstable. Superheated air roared from the flames, punching holes through his flesh. He approached the crouching wanderer with a smile.
What happened to her?
Eric shouted into the Deadnought's unhallowed mind.
Where the hell did she go?
A good mystery is but the promise of a fine adventure, dear brother. Rest assured, we shall find her. And of course, the Death Singer, and that wonderful William the Wanderer as well, for whom I'm certain you are equally concerned.
Eric learned long ago his gigantic sibling's acidic handling of all matters, leaving no stone of impropriety unturned. Keith, yes, naturally, but that other one can die in a hole for all I care. And I appreciate your pointing out my apparent callousness. Your thoughtful nature knows no bounds.
I am my brother's keeper, am I not?
Keeper, indeed. Lynn shook her head while panning her blind eyes across the city.
I'm not picking them up anywhere. They must be out of my range. I know Hazel can pull back into the past or something like that, essentially making herself disappear. I'm fairly sure that's not something I can detect.
They all know where we're headed. So if they're upright, they'll meet us there, Mars added, almost coldly. Nika's eyes had been darting angrily between the speakers, growing impatient.
Then we need to get to it. We've got more people out there, and I don't feel like losing them just because your people don't know their asses from their elbows. Christ, I figured my shit out almost as soon as I was out of the machine.
The dead knot turned towards the wanderer, his perpetual rictus grin gleaming.
Why? Clearly we passengers are but unseasoned whelps when compared to the Wanderer's veteran stock. Whatever might we have done, had only you'd deign to exercise your superior wisdom during our last conflict. Imagine how pathetic we would have appeared, marched back to our own domicile, to be scolded and forced into service. Yes?
Nobody forced us to do anything, freak show.
Nika approached the pale Goliath, a scowl curling her lips.
And we don't take shit from zombie gland cases either.
The wanderer stepped closer, flexing her fingers before balling them into ready fists.
Nod that empty skull of yours if you understand.
Bravo, bravo. Such a fine attempt at diversion. Such devotion to your craft. And pray tell, little gunslinger, where is that busy bee of a boyfriend of yours? Oh yes, behind me. Wondering if he might have to use those wonderful accoutrements of killing upon me. But then, you might ask yourself, where is that fine passenger? The one named for a god of war?
Nika looked to the darkness directly behind the Deadknot, finding Mars within Artie's creeping shadow, stalking the stalker.
Oh, there he is.
The Deadknot chuckled, walking past Nika as if she weren't there. Lynn shook her head at the proceedings, her expression souring.
Let's cut the shit and get moved.
A sudden convulsion of earth cut her chastising short, shaking the entire city. The two groups fell silent as the quake seemed to shift away from them, the swaying trees and rooftops tracing out the movements of something massive and subterranean. They looked on as the underground presence paused somewhere near the center of town, where a slender and coy moon revealed the crooked outline of what had once been its business district. A moment of expectant silence settled over them, just before several of the distant buildings plunged downward as if by controlled demolition, disappearing into a plume of dust and the alien caterwauling of something enormous. The unearthly howl vibrated through the bones of the city, rattling moldering shingles free of sagging gambrel rooftops, shaking entire coats of foliage from autumnal trees.
My God, Hazel might be over there. We need to find out where she is immediately, brother. We need to go.
Eric conjured memories of Elizabeth's horrified face, where it peered around the colonial soldiers beating him to death. The moment he knew, they would never be together again. The Deadknot supped upon his brother's misery and found it bittersweet. There was love in his pale breast for his brother, true and solemn, and unstoppable rage for those who would sadden him.
Then so be it. Poor, sweet Eric. And woe betide anything that stands in my way.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.